Today we're starting session two of Jesus Teaches at the Feast of the Tabernacles. We will have, this is part one, and next week we will finish it with part two. It's found in John 7, 11 through 36. This is a section we'll be learning. Actually, the whole chapter is Jesus at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Top of the worksheet is this short paragraph. Jesus had been gone from Jerusalem for about 18 months. From that whole area of Judea, he had been gone that long. But returned for this popular Feast of the Tabernacles and taught in the temple. In his gospel, John the Apostle highlights both Jesus' teaching and the various reactions from the crowds. Now, we've already done one session on this, so let's catch ourselves up. Very important that we understand who Jesus is talking to, and I'm going to take the time to review that. First of all, it's the Jews. This is one of John's favorite words he loves to use in his book. He talks about Jews. Mm-hmm. We have to understand who is he talking about. Someone tell me, when John writes Jews, who is he talking about?
Religious leaders.
Religious leaders. Mm-hmm. Religious leaders, so we have Pharisees, Sadducees.
Chief
the chief priests.
Elders.
Elders. Now, the elders are actually political. These are tribal leaders, representatives from every tribe. So anybody who had leadership positions, John throws into this comment or this word, Jews. Then we have in this passage, people. We will talk about that. We'll see that the people speak with Jesus. That sounds pretty generic, but it actually is a specific group. Who is it?
Pilgrims.
Those who actually came to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And this was pilgrims who traveled in. Somewhere, of course, they didn't tally up and put into history, but we can guess 150 to 200,000 people would travel in from Galilee, from the south, and literally from all of Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. So John would call these people. Then the last group we talked about was some of them of Jerusalem.
The locals,
the natives. You know, that 25 to 30, 40,000 people who actually live there. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, maybe your town swells because there's a big event. We live in a college town, and there'll be times where you don't even want to leave your houses because this town will swell for events at the university or when they move the kids in. And this is what happens at this time, this great amount of people coming in. Those of Jerusalem, some of Jerusalem, locals and natives. Background, for our review from what we did last week, I want to read the scripture, make a few comments and keep moving. Background, this happened before Jesus even arrived. This sets the stage. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he? Where is that man?" Again, this is religious leaders. They're looking for him. It seems like they understood he was coming. It was a rumor he had been gone, but he's coming this time. And they're looking around. Where is he? Mm-hmm. Verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. We talked a lot about the word murmuring. We're actually going to see it again today, that word in our passage as we move forward. What does that mean? What is murmuring?
Undercurrent.
Quiet, secret. Grumbling. It's all about this undercurrent. It wasn't a big, you know, in the forums, in the temple. It was around the campfires. Mm-hmm. It was between family groups. They were talking, and they were talking about Jesus. They were talking about him. Mm-hmm. And what were they saying? Goes on in the verse. For some said, he is a good man. Mm-hmm. Some people said, he's a good man. Mm-hmm. What was that based on, guys?
His work. Healings.
Healing. His amazing teaching. He's a good man. Feed 5,000. All this would be coming up. But then the other side, here I go, my favorite. Nah. Mm-hmm. KJV. But he deceiveth the people. And what's that based on?
He claimed to be God, and they found that as to be offensive or blasphemous.
Yes, good. And he was just so different from his teaching, from the religious leaders, from the the Jews leaders right now at that time. He was so different. He was
even for the pilgrims that knew of him.
Because they expected, if they were Jewish, they expected a king to come.
Yeah, and so so it seems like he just, so yeah. this is Yonderkirk. This was the arguing that was going on. He's a good man. No, but he deceives. He says this and this. Verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly for him, of him, for fear of the Jews.
Right.
It was not an open forum. There wasn't a debate with openly about him. It was this quietness for fear of the Jews, fear that they might be thrown out of the, if they showed any positive concerning like Jesus, today, they could actually be thrown out of the synagogue, out of the temple. They'd be, they would be find themselves in trouble.
Persecuted.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Teaching, first teachings and debates, Roman numeral 2. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Mm-hmm. I love it how plain, just like throws it there. Mm-hmm. He just shows up mid-feast, you know, not day one, but middle of feast, just goes up in the temple like nothing's up. And he starts to teach. And the Jews marveled, that's our religious leaders, marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Mm-hmm. That's about, how does he know the scripture? How does he know all the theology, having never sat underneath the great teachers? How does he know all this? Again, we connected that when he was 12 years old. That was the same thing that they were saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, going on, 16, and Jesus answered them. He answers these men. And he said, my doctrine, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. Mm-hmm. And he goes on and gives us how you will understand these things. How can a person understand what he's saying? If any man will do his will, talk to the other translations, desire to do God's will, wants to, willing, chooses, really determines truth here. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. It's all about a desire for truth. See, these religious leaders were coming in with predetermined, set, hard ways. And the truth was not going to confuse them. They were not going to accept truth. Verse 18, and he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. See, a teacher, you will know a teacher's true message by who he holds up. You want to be in a church, you want to be in a place hearing the word of God by and being taught by someone who holds up Jesus.
Right.
Not himself, not his doctrine, not his doctrine. Not his association, not his denomination, not his connections, not his mentors and teachers, always bringing up. You want to hear somebody who brings up Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's the center. And this is what Jesus said. He that speaks of himself seeketh his own glory. Mm-hmm. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him. The same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. See, Jesus was setting the glory of his Father. Mm-hmm. And it was true. The religious leaders were always setting up the glory of their studied rabbis, themselves. Jesus said, no, that is not a criteria for truth. Mm-hmm. First 19. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? I'm sure there was a snicker in the crowd after that statement, because the locals knew that there was this plan out to take Jesus. And he just gave to them and laid out Moses' law, thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. Don't you keep the law? And yet you go about to kill me?
Yeah.
Just like, I think I'd let a giggle out. Yeah. Yeah, he was just being very much...
I bet they were surprised to hear him say that. You know, like, yes. He's trying to kill him. Oh, well, he's trying to kill
here
him.
We, and you're going to see that.
Right.
We're going to see that from as we move forward. Roman numeral 2. Wait, I'm sorry. I just put all my stuff in order and then.
Yeah.
And we're moving on now. Now, this is new material, and we're going to the end. Why you go about... So we are on the new scripture. We'll be hitting letter B. Okay? This is where we are.
Okay.
Bottom of two, scripture. I was as confused as you guys because wow. My notes, I went from page 2 to 7, and I thought, oh my goodness, I am a mess.
We haven't got a B.
We don't have B, but that's B. Okay.
Well, B is below.
B's on the next page.
Yeah.
The Jews was an A.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. The people answered and said, now, what did Jesus just say? He said, why you go about to kill me? And the people, tell me who the people are. Review.
The Jews.
The pilgrims.
The pilgrims. Okay. See, this is really important. Remember, I made a little chart. Like, I got to keep who's talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The pilgrims. The locals are, and some of Jerusalem.
Okay.
So the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Okay. I want to teach that. Let's talk about that. So here we are, the people. These are part of the 150,000 pilgrims who came in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they're in the temple and they're listening to Jesus. And they interrupt him. Time out. You're talking about someone's trying to kill you? Mm-hmm. Who's trying to kill you? See, they interrupt him.
Yep.
Okay.
See, they have a very high opinion of religious leaders. Mm-hmm. And they can't imagine anybody's out to get him. Mm-hmm. They even are scorning him in this statement. That was a devil. Hear it? That was a devil. See, this whole devil, the people's question, that was a devil. That is a Jewish go-to when someone seems out of touch, a little crazy,
right.
Not living in reality. They just like, that's what they throw at you. You've got a devil.
Mm-hmm.
They're scoffing him.
Yeah.
But Jesus' reaction, as we move forward here in this passage, he kind of ignores them. Mm-hmm. And he just continues with his teaching. Isn't that a good good example to us?
Yeah.
Just keep going. He just keeps going. Let's go to 21. And Jesus answered them. Jesus answered them and said unto them, I have done one work. I have done one work. And you all marveled.
Yeah.
Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive his circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Wow. Mm-hmm. 18 months before John 5 happened. What happened? And this is that one work that Jesus is talking about. This is the one work. Now, this is kind of neat because we all know what happened in John 3. Okay, mm-hmm. We should. That's Nicodemus. Yeah. John 4.
Woman at the well.
Okay, now, and John continues through the important events of Jesus' life as we move forward in his book. John 5, very important time here.
The invalid man.
Yes, at the pool of Bethesda. He was an invalid for 38 years. And we can go, as a matter of fact, we're going to end up going to John 5 and reading a little bit there, but... Jesus goes in on the Sabbath, heals him, tells him, take up your bed and walk. And amazingly, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews saw it. And this was the one work that started all of this hate and desire to kill him. Let's go. Let's go there. A little review. John 5. And because he healed this man, verse 16 says, and therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But then he starts to communicate them. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Boom, he just connected himself with God the Father. And verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that all that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Wow. That was the one work that Jesus is referring to. And here in the temple, that day, when he returns back to Jerusalem, he brings it right back up. He said, we're going to address this. We're going to talk about this. I have done one work. It was this healing that drove Jesus away from Jerusalem to minister in Galilee. He reminded them how everyone marveled at this. The negative and controversy, so he'll adjust it, address it. And he, what does he bring up? Their work on the Sabbath. He says, you, on the Sabbath, circumcise a man. Moving on in your notes. God first gave circumcision to Abraham, not to Moses. It was to Abraham. Okay? And it was a sign of being set apart as his special people. Later, the circumcision of an eight-day-old baby boy was part of the Mosaic law.
Okay.
Law God handed to Moses. Eighth day, you will circumcise a baby. There was no argument here. If a baby boy's eighth day fell on the Sabbath, they circumcised him. They circumcised him. Yeah.
Eighth day.
They circumcised him. Circumcision was a sacred work, and that was accomplished regardless of the day of the week. This is what Jesus brings in. Drops it in the on the floor right there in front of them all. Please realize the debate of Jesus' healing on the Sabbath was an old one. The incident of Jesus healing the man with the withered hand was earlier than that, and he addressed that. I want you to see, they did work on the Sabbath when it was necessary. Matthew 12:9, 11, and 12, this was the withered hand incident that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Here's Jesus debating with them concerning that time. What man, Jesus said to them as they were, they had said, is it lawful for you to heal on the Sabbath day? Jesus came back with this. What man is there among you that shall have one sheep and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?
Right.
How much then is a man better than a sheep?
Right.
Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
So this has been something that's been going on. And here is another time he's bringing this illustration right to the very men who do these circumcisions. He goes on, in your notes we have, are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Jesus is successfully pointing out their inconsistencies and hypocrisy of these religionists. Their hard hearts. Because Jesus could do this great work and give this man strength after 38 years, and he did it on the Sabbath, they were angry with him. One more verse there, verse 24. Jesus, I can almost see him looking at them and then the whole crowd. He said, listen, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Yes.
True judgment. Think. Have common sense. Let's not lose sight of who Jesus is talking to. Everyone there. Solomon spoke of this type of biased thinking in Proverbs 24:23. It said, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. You know, they were just going with what the people, just going with what the religious leaders were saying, just like blank slates, nothing going on in their minds. It's just like, they're not even thinking. She said, listen, you need to be judging righteous judgment. Don't judge according to titles and money and power, but according to God's righteousness. And that's what was not going on that day. So Jesus is teaching. And he's interrupted again. He's there. All these people and different people. We got religious leaders there. We have all these pilgrims. We have the locals. And a new group. We're going on. John 7:25-29. Then said some of them of Jerusalem. Boom. There's our locals. There's the natives of Jerusalem. Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly. He's bringing up this from this work. He's speaking boldly. And they do nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?
Yes, they do.
Just won't wow. Is this not, let's look at some of this. Let's go this far. Verse 25. Is not this he who made me see? The boldness of Jesus was very surprising to the locals. Mm-hmm. Jesus had not been in Jerusalem for well over a year. The rumors of hate and the desire to kill Jesus was very well known. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was not acting like a man with a target on his back. Mm-hmm. He wasn't cowarding. And the religious leaders were doing nothing. They're just standing there. The climate against Jesus was something that the pilgrims didn't really understand. The ones who had come to the feast, they didn't understand that the strength of the religious leaders against Jesus. Yet the locals saw the lack of action against Jesus by the Jewish leadership is very confusing. Right. To the point they were starting to wonder, had the rulers changed their mind? Mm-hmm. Going on, do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Jesus had clearly said he was the Messiah. His teachings were so knowledgeable and bold. These miracles that he demonstrated were pointed to the fact that he was the Messiah over illness and demons and nature and death. Were the religious leaders beginning to believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah? The confusion. Now, we need to understand this undercurrent. This was a... This whole Feast of the Tabernacles was about Jesus. Okay? And then, they kind of double back. Verse 37. How be it? We know this man. Whence he is. That word whence means where he's from and comes from. We know him. So they're starting to, like, talking themselves out of him, okay? And then they said, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Here's where they start to go wrong. Let's go on. It can't be. The people will base their understanding of who Jesus was from faulty thinking and faulty tradition. Right. I want you to connect the dots on this. This still happens today. People will think they know who Jesus is because of faulty teaching and faulty tradition. They think they have a good handle on who Jesus was based on wrong teaching and wrong traditions. They said, first of all, we know this man whence he is. It was a studied fact that Jesus, the Messiah, or from the Old Testament, that the Messiah was to come from Bethlehem. Yeah. Yep. He was going to be a son of David from the city of David.
Right.
But the people thought they knew where Jesus was from. From lowly Nazareth, out of the way, wrong side of the tracks town. The cutting cliche that's actually found three times in the Gospels, not parallel passages, three separate times, that little cutting cliche that they would throw at Jesus, no good thing comes out of Nazareth.
Right.
That was the saying. Mm-hmm. And this was where everyone thought Jesus was from. Wrong. Mm-hmm. Wrong. No fact check done here. Mm-hmm. It was faulty thinking. They had faulty thinking concerning where Jesus was from.
Yeah.
Now, we all know we're coming up against Christmas here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to be celebrating his birth in Bethlehem.
Right.
But they thought they knew where he's from. But also, we have some wrong tradition being spewed here. Mm-hmm. When Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Tradition says that their Messiah would someday appear out of nowhere and come to Jerusalem and set up the kingdom. Now, what's twisted there is Old Testament prophecy concerning the second coming.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The second coming,
mm-hmm.
which hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so tradition started to become its own thing here. And they thought, on the grounds of some of these prophecies, that their Messiah would just come out of nowhere. They wouldn't know where he was from. So that's why they said, we know where he's from, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. So they had not only faulty thinking, but also they had faulty tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Again. That happens today, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I love our dear ones are caught in faulty thinking mm-hmm. and faulty traditions. Mm-hmm. And they think they know who God is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus' answer. Let's read on. Then he cried. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am come from him, and he hath sent me." As I've been studying more this week and reading through some of these, I was impressed by it. Said that you're finding here two, maybe we could say three, because we'll hit another one next week. Amazing statements of Jesus. And this is here, right here. You think you know me. He says again, God sent me. He sent me. And you don't know him.
And how many times does he use I am, I am?
Yeah.
Because he is the I am.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Jesus earnestly announcing the truth. The word cried. I went looking at that one. Cried. In the Greek, this is a very loud declaration, a public declaration. This wasn't just to those groups that had come around him, and I'm sure this group grew from as he was there. But he was declaring this to as far as his voice would carry. He wanted to stop this confusion, let everybody within here that hearing to hear to be able to hear him. You think you know me. They thought they knew who Jesus was, just an ordinary man from an ordinary town. But really, they didn't know him. He was not ordinary, and he certainly didn't come from an ordinary place. And then he continues the debate on his origin and authority. Continues. He said, God sent me. Look into that passage again. In verses 28 and 29, how many times do you say that in just a few, in a statement? Just in that statement, verses 28 and 29. God sent me. He sent me. Two times. Amen. Two times. The truth was, he had come sent from God, and he says it again and again. He was from the true God, and Jesus knew him. This is more than a statement of a prophet. I want to tell you, this is more than a statement of a prophet. Some people just say Jesus was just a good man sent from God, kind of like a prophet. But this is more of a statement than a prophet. He knew God. John 5, we're going back to, okay, what's in John 5?
The invalid man.
The whole thing where that was the one work.
Right, that was the one work.
Yeah. The one work that really stirred, got things in Jerusalem stirred up. 5 verse 17. We looked a little bit at this. Jesus said to them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He just connected his Father. He didn't say God like a prophet would. Much more intimate.
Yeah.
And then John comes in with the narratives like, oh, man, they just wanted to kill him more. But Jesus continued. So 17 actually goes into 19. So you see that if you have red letter edition, you can see that John interrupted us with commentary. But Jesus interrupted Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, it's him, can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. He's going to go through here. He's going to keep connecting himself with the Father. He's not a prophet. He's a son. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 20, John 5, 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth who he will. For the Father judges no man, but he committeth all judgment unto the Son. He's giving these examples. The Father gave the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So that was John 5. Do you remember that's when they really wanted to kill him and throw, and he left for 18 months? Yeah, it was statements like this. And he is bringing it back to the, he's just picked up where he left off. He said to his listeners, who you don't know the Father. They could not recognize Jesus because they didn't know his Father. This is a very serious accusation that he just threw to them. They didn't know the Father. These were Jews, sons of Abraham, God's chosen people. But they were worshiping a God of their own making, not the true God. So their Messiah was walking among them, and they did not know him, did not recognize him. And they hated him instead. Of course, when John started his book, he laid out some of those very principles. So you knew going forward what this was going to turn out, how this was going to turn out. John said he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, 11 and 12. 20. Let's move on. So what was the reaction of people? What was their response? More confusion, more division, and a desire for blood. Let's read. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. This is very interesting. Please, I want you to take a moment. Who's the they?
Leaders.
The Jewish. The pilgrims.
I think
you have to go back to see who he's talking to.
Right.
So who asked the question? Verse 25. Then said some of the Jerusalem, is not that he that seeketh, but lo, he speaketh boldly. Do the rulers not indeed?
Yeah.
And Jesus interrupts.
Tell me.
Yes, the locals.
The locals.
It seems now, is everybody in this group? Sure. I mean, we have a lot of people. Yeah. But it says, and they sought to take him. The understanding here is not taking Jesus for a social outing, but violence and blood. Just as Jesus' hometown people spontaneously wanted to throw him off a local cliff after he declared he was the one spoken of in Isaiah.
Yeah.
These overzealous people of Jerusalem wanted to forget the rulers. They seem unwilling to do what needs to be done, and they seem to rush to want to take him. They sought to take him.
Because they didn't have, because the rulers didn't have any action toward him.
Right, and so they said, and their question was, what's up with the rulers?
Right.
So that's another reason it seems like who is leading this drive against Jesus now? Right. The locals.
The locals. Right.
They've been hearing how that they wanted to take them, the Jewish leadership wanted to take them. Well, forget them. We'll step over them and get Jesus ourselves. This is, taking Jesus was what was done with blasphemers, and that was their reaction to his statement. You know both me, and you know whence I am, and I am come from not from myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not.
Right.
Reaction. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Amazing statements. I know him. I am from him. And he sent me. And they wanted to rush him. Other words, I'm from God. I know him, and you don't. These statements drove them to a frenzy, a hate-filled desire for blood. Shepherd, in his book on Jesus' life, one of my go-tos, study book, said Christ offered of himself as the Son of God who had come to reveal God. I'm going to say it again. Christ's offer of himself as the Son of God who had come to reveal God was rejected by the multitude. But please realize the rejection of Jesus often comes with anger and hostility. Ever have any dear ones, friends, family who reject Christ, and they just become unnecessarily angry. Just like
the wall goes up.
Yeah, hard, angry, even hostile.
Yeah.
Let's read on. Verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, no man can do these things except God be with him.
Right.
This is what they're seeing. So what was the driving force behind this belief? I'm going to go with Gabrielle. These people believed. But what was the driving force? What caused them to believe that he might be the Christ? Wow, you always have to be right there. Mm-hmm. Sorry, sweetheart. The miracles. Right. They were seeing these miracles. Right. You had that. It was a vast number of unexplained, incredible miracles of Jesus. No prophet of Israel had done anything like this before.
Right.
Could he truly be the Messiah?
Yeah.
These miracles seem to confirm it. They had been prophesied in the scriptures, and because of them, many believed that he might really be the Christ. This was at the beginning of a full understanding of the person of Christ. Like Nicodemus is a great example of that. As they come and kind of see these miracles, it was the beginning of the road to Jesus. Disciples, same thing. Beginning of the road. It was the miracle of the fishes that brought Peter to his knees. This was really the beginning of a full understanding, his deity and his person. Even Jesus said in John 10:38, if you don't believe my words, believe my works. John 10:38. But sadly, most were blinded to the truth by what? Their opinions, their faulty traditions, and their faulty teachings. Going on. The Pharisees heard the people's murmuring. They started hearing this. Some people wanted to go take Jesus, but then they're like, could he be the Christ? They heard this murmuring. Again, there's that word again. What does that mean? Murmuring.
Grumbling.
Undercurrent.
This undercurrent of such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests, that's the Sadducees here. Sadducees. Remember, this is water and oil mixing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
These two don't get along, except they have one thing they united in, and that's their hatred against Jesus. Yeah. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. They're opponents in doctrine, opponents in power.
Mm-hmm.
Opponents, yeah, and even in conservative and liberal. They were just opponents. It really was. They were liberals and conservatives. They were mixing here over taking Jesus. And they came and they sent officers to take him. Officers, that would be like temple guards, temple police, guys with spears standing around. This is really what the religious leaders wanted to do, arrest Jesus, try Jesus, condemn Jesus. So they sent the officers to take him. And we're going to get another amazing statement from Jesus from this. Mm-hmm. Then said, verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Mm-hmm. Ye see, you shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Jesus' statement. Again, here's one of those big statements that Jesus is putting out there. It's actually the first time Jesus is prophesying the future. Yet a little while, I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. What's he talking about here?
His death and resurrection.
And?
Resurrection.
His resurrection and ascension. I will go back to where I came. He's telling this hostile group of officers and probably the accompanying Pharisees and chief priests and all those other ones who wanted to get him. He said, I'm going to leave soon and return to where I came. This is the first time he makes such a declaration. Upper room, he's going to tell the disciples the same thing. He's going to tell them over and over again. The disciples, John 13:33, upper room. John 14:19, upper room. John 16:16, upper room. I'm going. And there was even the one in 14 is kind of interesting because Jesus will actually refer back to this in time. John 14:19, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, nope, 13:33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, and he goes on and teaches. So he was going back to his father, and he will even tell the disciples in the upper room this same type of statement. And this is the first time he gives it. He gives it to his enemies, to these ones who want to kill him. But then he adds, you'll seek me, and you shall not find me, and thither can you come. Jesus made it very clear that he was going where he was going. They could not come. I put wow in my notes. But this is what he will say in this. He said this in the Sermon on the Mount. I'd like you to just kind of see what he said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:20. He said that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. The scribes and Pharisees were not going to heaven.
Right, right.
Their righteousness was not what needed to be.
Right.
And here he says, you guys aren't coming. And it was based on their beliefs, on their belief, their lack of trust and belief in him. So, religious leaders are super confused. I smile because as soon as Jesus spoke, they were kind of putting together, they were immediately interpreting his statements. And of course, always wrong. Right. They are interpreting Jesus wrong. Let's read what they said. Verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go? That we shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Here they're coming up with a theory. What does that mean? Whither will he go? They came up with their own critical and sarcastic theories. He's going to go to the dispersed. That's the Jews who are out into the Roman Empire. And he's going to teach Gentiles, those dog Gentiles.
Right.
That's what he's going to do.
Right.
Again, we see these religious leaders being full of hate for Jesus and Gentiles.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to go teach Gentiles.
Right.
But isn't it wonderful to realize that Jesus will later send his followers into all the world to teach the Jews and the Samaritans and Gentiles?
Right.
Yeah. What manner of saying is this? You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. You see the confusion here?
Mm-hmm.
So much confusion. It seems they thought Jesus could not hide from them. And though happy he was leaving again, they wondered where he was going and why they couldn't hunt him down. They knew he had been in Galilee. But what does this mean, this new saying? That's where we pick up the story next time. I wanted to go to Believer's Application number 2. And it's actually homework number 6. I just grabbed your homework, and I'm folding them together into this lesson. Homework number, Believer's Application number 2. We have been examining the confusion surrounding Jesus that existed after 3 years of ministry. That's what we're seeing here. Many had limited knowledge of his works and words. Some relied on the opinions of others, and others approached Jesus with a predetermined mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Please understand that remains the same today.
Page 5.
Yeah. Oh, page 5 in your notes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we're on page 5 in your notes as we will mold the homework and this lesson together. Please understand that remains the same today. Many people have limited knowledge of Jesus. I'm just thinking them out there. Outside these walls, dear friends, neighbors, many people have limited knowledge of Jesus. They depend on others' thoughts or teachings. They hold a predetermined opinion of him. Right. But really, we all need to search out who Jesus is individually.
Yeah.
And we have all we need right here. We can know who Jesus is right here. But again, there's no fact checking. People need to fact check here. And we can do it in the Word of God. I gave five different facts concerning Jesus. You need to read them. Drop one of the words, way, eternal, God, trustworthy, and Savior, into that. The first one, John 1, 1 through 3. I'm not going to read them all, and again, I understand this got long. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to connect you to something else John wrote here on these pages. Verse 18. Who is this Word? And what was Jesus' Word? He has this Word. He's being called Word. What was the words he was bringing? 18 tells us, no man has seen the Father, has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. That's his words. He's showing us God.
Mm-hmm. God-man.
Yeah. He came as a God-man, declaring his Father, because no man's ever seen him before.
Right.
The same was in the beginning, verse 2, with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is God.
Right.
We must believe the clear teachings of Scripture that Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. It's because of his deity and sinlessness that his blood sacrifice for sin is sufficient to make us right with God. So that's why the deity is so important, his sinlessness. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. So, first one, Jesus is God. Second one, Jesus is, what did you find?
Savior.
Jesus is Savior. John 4:42 is the Samaritan people, the city of Sychar, that said, now we've heard him, and now not just because of the woman at the well's words, but we have heard him and know that he is the Christ, the Savior. Son, the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John also in his book, 1 John chapter 4, I want to read 14 and 15. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
Mm-hmm.
Savior.
Address again.
1 John 4:14-15. It was part of the scripture that we did. We must believe the clear teaching of scripture that Jesus is Savior. God the Father sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross to save sinners. He's a Savior. That was God's will for Jesus. And Jesus obediently went to the cross for each one of us. He came to save sinners. He's our Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I also took that verse, John 3:16, from number 3. Jesus is the only way to God. That's another character of God, who Jesus is. Of course, there's John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 1 Timothy 2:5-6.
One mediator.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We must believe the clear teaching of Scripture. Jesus is the only way to God. A lot of people, that's where it stops.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's where it stops. For a lot of people. But we must believe the fact check that Jesus is the only way to God. Not, oh, we have these opinions, other teachings, traditions that we all bring in. But I remember when my mother would be working with my grandma, and of course both of them are gone. But I remember my dear old grandma would say, I didn't know that was in the Bible. A woman who had been in church every Sunday since a baby, and now in her 80s, and Mama would show things from the scripture, and Grandma would go, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Yeah. We must individually check these things. And Jesus said, I'm the way to God. Titus 3, 5, and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Titus 3, 5, and 6. Number 4, Jesus is trustworthy. Yeah, this is a very important principle we have to understand. John 12. Jesus is teaching again. John 12:44. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am the light into the world. But whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believeth not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father hath sent me. He gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus is trustworthy. We must believe the clear teaching of Scripture. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus can be trusted. His words are from God. He's full of wisdom and compassion. He only desires our best, and he never changes.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:13 tells us, if we believe not, meaning that if we're faithless, yet he abideth faithful.
Right.
He cannot deny himself. Right. Jesus is always trustworthy. We can trust his words and his death for us on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, Jesus is eternal. Again, back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is eternal. John 16:27. And for the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me and hath believed that I came out of God. I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world again. I leave the world, and I go to the Father. Jesus is eternal. We must believe this clear teaching of Jesus. Christ, Jesus is eternal. In the upper room, Jesus will say it plainly again in, I came from heaven and I will return to heaven. The book of Revelation, John the Apostle recounts for his readers the conversation he had Jesus again at the end of Revelation, Revelation 22:13. I'm the Alpha, Jesus said, and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We must believe the clear teachings of Scripture. Jesus is God. He is the provided Savior. He is the only way to God.
Mm-hmm.
He is absolutely trustworthy, and he is eternal. Please realize that just as Peter preached to the Jews in Jerusalem in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other.
Right.
For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved.
What's the address for
that? Acts 4:12. That is the gospel. That's right. The gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Jesus is. And that's what he's telling the people and the confusion that they needed to understand. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that we each one today hearing these words might be sure of their place in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That they have put their trust in the Son of God, eternal, trustworthy Savior, and that they will follow him. Help us to be faithful followers and be bold in giving truth. Because this world is full of such untruth and such confusion and their own opinions and their hard hearts. But there are some who want to know truth. Help us to be faithful in giving it. In Jesus' name, amen.